If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TeladocHealth/whatsyourwhy.
People, you are locked in right now to the More Than Just an Interview podcast, officially streaming on all major DSPs and wherever you listen to your podcast at. Right now, we're about to pay a couple of bills. You're going to hear some amazing ads for some dope companies with innovative products. We'll be back into the show in just a minute. More Than Just an Interview is officially syndicated on 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family. Let's get it. When you come to Atlanta, there is one place that you must stop to shop, feel the culture of Atlanta, and find rare, amazing clothing that you will find nowhere else. And that is at the House of Fresh, owned by my brother, friend of the network, 99.78 Miami and Radio Pushers, two-time Grammy Award-winning producer, drummer boy Fresh. House of Fresh in Atlanta is the 11th wonder of the world. When you walk into this place, you can get your hair cut, you can drink champagne, you will be able to find the rarest pieces of clothing mastery in the world in that place. So when you walk out of there, you walking out of there one-on-one, a custom piece. And most importantly, you get the best Southern hospitality and customer service in the building. One thing about Drummer Boy Fresh, you will always get 100% respect and quality and service from any of the entities and brands that he owns. House of Fresh. Follow them on Instagram. House of Fresh, F-R-E-S-H. ATL, House of Fresh ATL on Instagram. Go to their website, houseoffresh.online, www.houseoffresh.online. That's houseoffresh.online. Tap in with the brand, tap in with the culture, and most importantly, tell them Radio Pushers sent you. You only going to find a one-on-one of each item in their building. Salute Drum Boy Fresh, Drum Squad Records, Drum Squad DJs, and the whole movement. Now back to our regular scheduled programming on 99.7 Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family.
People, this is Jonathan,
co-host of the More Than Just an Interview podcast, where we discuss trending topics in the world of entertainment and business and just the complete world. Our news cycle here runs differently because the things that we touch on are popular, but the way we touch on them is what separates us from any other broadcast platform in a major way. My co-host on this podcast that I'm honored to be riding shotgun with every week, she is the, we are literally like Kobe and Shaq together, Dwayne Wade and Braun all the way every week. We just dominate the league right now. You know, it's just with our podcast. Zori Rose Gold, again, honored to have you on the podcast, my friend.
What's good, everybody? Yes, we are definitely that superstar team going for the championship. That sound corny, but, you know, I believe that. I'm an entrepreneur, educator, medical professional, healer, and a podcast host. I do a lot of podcasting for Radio Pushers, and I'm honored to be here.
Definitely. Well, listen, we are honored to be on this platform, and most importantly, we are both honored to serve the public, because that's what a podcast is. It's a huge public service announcement for sure. So we're going to tap into it. It's been a lot going on in the world as usual. There's so much going on. Obviously, we cover specific topics that truly, truly, truly are shaking up the culture. The first topic we're going to touch on is the Rolling Stone article that they put together on behalf of the rise, really the dark side of Sean John Combs. It was detailing years of abuse, years of misconduct. They interviewed 50 of, you know, former artists, former employees, college students, going all the way back to Howard, and just talking about in general about his actions and his behavior. I mean, even talking about how he allegedly, let me put that word in there, was physically abusive to a former girlfriend. Employees would say he was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, when he was happy, everything was love. But when he was upset and mad or in a mood, everything would turn dark and violent. Literally, it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Here's the thing. When people have one fact on you, just one thing, your whole life could be beautiful. But if there's an ugly part about your life and people can take advantage of it, they will. And they will make it seem like you've never done nothing good in your whole life. Facts. But when you have that times 10, because you've made so many enemies throughout the years, and people just pile on when it comes to, you know, your story just to get in the headlines. And then the sad part about it is some of it's true. Some of it could be fabricated, but all of it reflects negatively on him and what he's built up. And I want to talk about this for two more minutes before I turn it back, you know, before I turn it over to Zoe. But, you know, the sad part about all of this, when you read the Rolling Stone article, which was a very well-written article, this whole thing triggered from Cassie Ventura, her lawsuit, and then what lit the firestorm beyond the heavens was the video from 2016, 8 years ago, where he viciously mauls. I mean, literally, it was like a lion jumping out of the bush, jumping on a gazelle, because she's no bigger than 115 pounds wet. And he just runs down the hallway, jumps on her, throws her down, kicks her close to the head, kicks her twice, drags her. I mean, literally drags her to back like she's just a runaway slave. Then as she sits in the corner crying and in pain, he throws an object at her, like a lamp or something. But that tape triggered a lot of people to speak.
You'll know a lot about you when the times get dark. When the times are light, you won't know a lot about you because not a lot of people are going to say anything negative because they feel like they can't slow down your momentum. But when it gets dark, when things aren't as favorable for you, that's when you find out who's on your team, who's by your side. When the money's gone, or in his case, the money isn't gone, but you could be going to prison. You are a pariah. You're radioactive. Nobody wants to stand next to you. Nobody wants to get struck by lightning, so to speak. So this Rolling Stone article, you know, it goes so deep into the other victim, the other alleged victim, their stories. It goes into former employees talking about, you know, violence toward other employees, you know, him slapping his mother, you know, him even being violent toward Kim Porter, who even with that situation, so many people have said that he was responsible, allegedly, for her passing and things of that nature. You know, he would interrupt her from dating other people. You know, he was connected to the death of Shakur Stewart, who was the guy that discovered Jeezy and Rick Ross, and he signed Sierra. Shakur Stewart committed suicide in his home with a sawed-off shotgun, which is hard to do. So is this so much darkness, you know, from Andre Harrell dying, Heavy D dying, Big dying, Kim Porter dying, Pop dying, all these things around you, and you're the one man standing, and then you have this little girl, woman from New Jersey saying, this guy was so violent to me for 10 years, raped me, beat me, drug, sex trafficked me, make me watch tapes, and then Rolling Stone, in 1997, put him on the cover as the king of hip hop. Almost 30 years later, he's back on the cover as saying Bad Boy for Life. That is full circle moment. And they said in the article that they wanted, after Big died, they wanted Big to be on the cover, and Puffy vetoed it. And he said, put me on the cover because Big is dead and I'm the new king of rap. That's what Rolling Stone said in the article. So, again, I mean, it's like, if you read the Bible, it says God forgives in a large way, which is true. You know, I bring up the analogy about King David. He slept with a man's wife, had the man killed, and tried to cover it up. It doesn't get any worse than that. But in the same token, though, the world, humans are very unforgiving. Like, you can step on somebody's shoe and they want to kill you. So, we're very hypocritical in that. But it's going to be a long humanitarian road back for him, for people to feel like he's human again. Because right now, he doesn't look like he's human. He looks like a demon. He looks like someone who is devoid of feeling. So, he can't even be seen with his daughters anymore. You know, his oldest daughter that he had with the woman, I forgot her name, but Sarah Chapman, the baby name is Chan. She's graduating today, and he can't be there. His twins went to the prom 2 weeks ago, and he couldn't be there. Well, he's going to have to get used to that because he really couldn't. He may not be there for real, for real. So, This is going to have a major, this is going to be catastrophic. It's already catastrophic for him and for what he has going on. But in conclusion, to me, it's just so sad to see unchecked, just complete Willy Boboism and wildness for over 30 years in the game. Go ahead, Z.
Okay. So the question still is about Rolling Stones, right? Correct, and they're going into details about his abuse, Sean Combs' abuse. Okay, cool. Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, it surprises me and baffles me sometimes when I think that people want to get into the realm of evil and expect there to be rules. You know what I'm saying?
Like, true. Good point.
you wanna dabble with the devil, but then you want to say, hey, devil, that's not fair. You wouldn't treat him that way, or you wouldn't do that to him. Why do you expect rules in that realm? You know, righteous, you know, if we're going to go into spirituality, you know, righteousness is righteousness. There's laws there. But then the other dark side, there's no laws, right? So you can't say, hey, that's not fair. You know, hey, Rolling Stones is writing this whole article about me. That's not right. He didn't do that to the white guy
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein, right. They didn't do that to him. Why are they treating me, you know, like, so to me that it just baffles me when that happens. There's no rules in this. When you get to the dark side, there's no rules. You can't expect that. You know, there's even when they say love and war, you know, you can't, you know, there's no rules, but there's just some realms that you go into that, you know, everything goes. But, I mean, Puff wasn't forgiving when he was doing the things he was doing to people, allegedly, you know, like when he was blowing up people's car, as many people say. You know, he was blowing up cars. You know, he was beating up women. It's not like he just did it one time and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Let me stop. Like, many people are accusing him of beating women. So he went pretty far, you know. And then you can't say, hey, where's the grace for me? There is no grace because you had no grace. So I've said this again. I mean, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You know, like you can't expect the universe to give you grace when you didn't give people grace. And that's where we're at with it. So Rolling Stones, yeah, I mean, it probably is racist that they picked him to write a whole story about and a whole bunch of bullet points on his abuse, and they didn't do it to Harvey Weinstein. But, you know, that's the realm you get into when you get into a life of darkness, of crime, of this type of behavior. You can't expect people to be gracious with you. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, you make all the sense in the world. I feel like when you're dancing with the devil, eventually you're going to get dropped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the perspective of, like, when I think about this Rolling Stone article, which I encourage everybody to read, when you sit back and you think about everything that is saying and all these people, it's only going to get worse with this article than The Atlantic is going to write an article, probably. The Washington Post is going to write an article. New York Times is probably putting something together. Mm-hmm. Anytime that they can pounce on a prominent black man, they're going to do that fast.
Like, absolutely.
I mean, I'm a 50 Cent fan, but like to say you got a documentary sold that fast is just, I mean, that's crazy, you know, mm-hmm. But would he have done that to somebody else that fast? I don't know. I can't speak on Fifth. I know why he's motivated, because, you know, Diddy was with his baby mom. So, I mean, it's 48 laws of power. Crush your enemy all the way to the end. I get it. Mm-hmm. But just the irony of everything is just bad timing for him. But, mm-hmm. You know, no black person ever spoke out against Harvey Weinstein or Johnny Depp, because they see them as powerful. And I'm sorry, you want to say something?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They see them as powerful. Some people call them the untouchables. Like, some, you know, people don't want to go there. So that's just what it is. But with 50, when you're his enemy, you're his enemy forever. Like, he going to be a 89 years old, you know, spike in your eyes, your puree food or whatever, you know, like he's going to be your enemy forever. That's just how he is. I don't know where he gets it from, because he's a Cancer like me, and we're nice. we're nice people overall, but you know, he's from the streets, and he gained a lot of knowledge from being in the streets. And, you know, once you're his enemy, that's it. It's forever.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and that's what I was saying, like, when I'm reading, you know, I read the Rolling Stone article. I mean, obviously, a lot of it I've heard before, but the thing about the article that's just so, it's a very, very relentless, but it just, when there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. And that's where everybody is with Diddy right now. There's smoke, there's fire. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could say the most crazy thing, like his former bodyguard, Gene Deal, you know, like he's been talking about Puff for like 4 or 5 years now, and he says some outlandish stuff. Some of the stuff I don't believe, but to be honest, how can you not believe? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Because of just the history of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I always give the analogy, if a person says, I only watched child porn one time my whole life, that could be true, but if people find a child porn tape in your house, they're going to think you, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. So it only, you know what I'm saying? Like, it only takes, you know, how many people have ruined their lives off one mistake, mm-hmm. you know, and, or just ruined their reputation. You know what I'm saying? Off one mistake. I remember watching Law and Order SVU. Now, what's the homosexual guy? He's a good actor, Bobby something. Porter or something, but he's a famous actor. He's one. He has HIV. He's been living with it, but he played a role of a teacher, a music teacher, mm-hmm. and the student lied that he didn't vote the student to move forward in a contest. So the student got mad and lied to their mom and said that he touched me. The moral of the story is, at the end of the show, he was found innocent. But his reputation was ruined. He lost his job, everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean. Like, even though he didn't even do it. In this situation, we know that he did something because of the tape that came out, even though he said he didn't do anything. So now with this Rolling Stone article, it just makes everybody start to speak. And when you give people a reason to come at you. Think about that. Before the Diageo thing happened, where he went against Diageo, the beverage company that owns, you know, Jack Daniels, they own Casamigos, they own Smirnoff, they own Absolut. I mean, when you think about it, I don't even know why he would even talk to them people crazy. But anyway, they own like, it's an $81 billion company.
Right.
But basically, you know, ever since then, it's just been, okay, we're going to open the doors to your life. So, and make everybody see you for who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, it's just the fact that Rolling Stone didn't waste any time, you know, writing this up. And like Vibe magazine did an essence. This is Rolling Stone. So, this is very credible. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're the ones that's going in on him in this situation. So I just, you know, to me, you know, they just ethered his character even more so, you know what I'm saying? So those are my thoughts. I want to move on to this part. I want to talk about Biggie. How do you feel, Z? And I'm going to get your thoughts on this first. How do you feel this impacts Biggie's legacy? Because Biggie's mom said that when she sees Puff, she just want to, you know, slap the daylights out of him. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel like all of this impacts? Does it complicate Biggie's legacy? Like, just give me your thoughts.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does anything but bring Biggie more attention. You know, like, I don't think it tarnishes his legacy at all. There are many rumors and allegations and stuff that Biggie wanted to leave Puff. So this is already known that, you know, he wasn't comfortable with the way Sean Diddy Combs did business, or maybe ethical reasons or whatever. He wasn't happy being there. So a lot of people have have said this. A lot of artists that have been with Puff have said, you know, they were going to leave Mace, and, you know, Mace continues with a feud and with Biggie, and, I mean, with Puff saying things about him. So I think right now, this just puts a tension on Bad Boy. I think right now is bad, because to me, publicity, usually they say it could be good or bad. It still makes money, you know? So I think it puts a microscope on Bad Boy music, and people are going to go listen to it. People are going to go watch Biggie's story to kind of analyze it again and see, hey, let's see how he was with Puff. Like, how did, you know, people are going to analyze it more. I think it's going to bring more money to Biggie's, whoever that's making money now from Biggie's music. But I don't think it tarnishes anything. It just makes the rumors look true that Biggie wanted to leave. And it makes the rumors look true that, hey, did Puff have something to do with his death? Because those are all rumors too. And yeah, so I think it just brings more light to Biggie. And I think people will just listen to him more and be more in enthusiastic and intrigued with the story.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with you. I don't feel like, well, the reason why I feel like it complicates the Biggie relationship with Bad Boy, not so much his legacy. I think that's the better phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, everybody, because like, when you think about their discography, like all the records they made, it's just mind blowing, the music that came out of Bad Boy. But it's like, if you like performing those records, or when you think about Big now it's almost like you think about Big with sympathy.
Mm.
When before you just thought about Big, like, man, he was the greatest, man. I wish he was still here. Regardless if you blame Puff for having him in LA, you know, you really didn't think about him like that. For a long time, people blame Suge for killing Tupac.
Mm.
And they falsely accuse him of that, even though he almost died himself. He got a bullet in his head right now.
Mm.
So it's just crazy, the perception. You know what I'm saying? But now, when you hear all this stuff that, you know, Big wanted to leave and he didn't want him to be on the cover of Rolling Stone, Puff didn't want that, allegedly, da 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 da. And with everything going on, it's like Bad Boy will always be an iconic label. It will also be iconic for destroying lives, though, at the same time, because all that great music came at such a high price. You know what I'm saying? Like, The Lox left, you know, Danny Kane, Day 26, just so many, you know, Cassie signed a 10-album deal. I forgot about that. This girl signed a 10-album deal. She only put out one album.
Wow. Trap.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he signed to a 10-album deal in 2006. And she only put out, you know, one album. Because the whole 10 years, they were just running through Hollywood, West Hollywood, just acting a fool. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So she didn't really have time to really do anything, because it would have took away from all the extracurricular stuff they were doing. But in the same token, though, that's why I say it complicates his relationship with Bad Boy and the music side of it. We all know Big arguably is the greatest, but you just hate to see him in that light with Puff and Bad Boy now, because it's like, you know, Big died so young. He died at 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so 26 years old. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, his music will last. And he didn't make a lot of music. He only made 2 albums.
Yeah, right.
It's not like he made a lot of music like Pac. Like, you know, Pac made all these records. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, Big just made 2 records his whole career. So I just think it complicates the relationship with Bad Boy, because Bad Boy will always be Bad Boy, but it would never be in the same light. Even Irv Gotti with Murder, Inc. As much as I dislike Irv's demeanor, I hated the way he spoke about Ashanti. He's in a better position than Bad Boy right now. Because you can't, this story doesn't end well anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And this doesn't end well. You know, I remember, I don't know if you ever watched the Behind the Music, but I remember when he had beat the case in 2001 with Shine. Yeah, I forgot about Shine. Then Shine went to prison. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was like Shine went to prison. Then it was like, he didn't shoot. Well, who gun was it? You know what I'm saying? Puff shot him. It's just a lot, you know. And, you know, Kim Porter dying was a big deal. Very big deal. And the abuse part, it just sullies the water. Like, when you think about Def Jam, they've moved on from Russell Simmons and Rick Rubin. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Bad Boy is Puff because he is... Sean John is Puff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just all of it, his face, his name, his... He's dancing all in the videos.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, those are my thoughts. So now I just think it complicates things because of all the trouble. It's almost like saying your son was super talented, but he, you know, your son was a Hall of Fame football player, but he raped somebody. Or he beat up women. Like, man, your son was great, but man, he beat up both his wives bad. Like, how do you get away from that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, how do you get away from it? It's like, it's hard. I guess that's what I'm saying, Z. It's just hard to get away from that stain. You can't unsee the video.
Yeah, you can't praise a man who's done something like that. You know, it doesn't matter if he did the first heart surgery. You know, you still gonna say, yo, but you saw how he beat up that woman? You know what I'm saying? So you can't,
right?
You could have been Mother Teresa like your whole life. I mean, majority of your life. But, you know, after people see you such a big, so you overpower a woman that's so small and you kick her in the head 2 times, I think he kicked her in the head, right? It looked like it.
Yeah. But, from the side.
Right.
From the side, yeah.
You could have done most of your life could have been good, honestly. But after people see that and see that's in you, you become scary. Because there was a question.
No, you went out for a quick sec, Z. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. There was a survey going on really quick where it was saying that women, if you're in a forest by yourself, would you rather be near a wild animal or just a man in the wilderness? And, you know, a lot of women said a wild animal, but, you know, cause just having a man in the wilderness with you, like you're going to think, what could he do? So it's like that menacing, that feeling of a man that's menacing like that, it just puts a bad taste in your mouth and you just can't unsee it. And he could have done excellent things in his life, but just knowing that's in him, you know, scares mostly women. And, you know, I don't think much praise will come from women from him publicly. So.
Yeah, definitely is going to come from that. And also, too, you know, when you think about, you know, I was listening to Suge Knight's podcast today, and we'll talk about that next as our final topic. But I was listening to Collette Call. Shout out to Dave Mays, Breakbeat Media. And he was just, at the end of the podcast, he said something very profound. Because it's going to be a part two to it. The name of his podcast is called Responsibility, which was dope. I thought that was a dope title, Responsibility. And he said that the person that's dancing in the videos and all that stuff, they look totally unassuming to violence or a crime, or look like they can just do something. But then the person who's not in the videos, who's serious about their business, I get the bad rap.
Right.
He violent, he beating up people, da, da, da. But all of the accusations against Suge has always been against been against men. Yo, man, he hung me over a balcony.
Right.
You know, I saw him beat up a producer. He ran up on one of Puff's business associates and at a Christmas party, and Tupac and Suge made the guy drink his own urine to tell him where Puffy Mama live at. Like, it's stories like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not laughing at those stories. I'm just saying, but I'm laughing at the fact that that's what he's known for. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are terrified of Suge. Like, literally. You know what I'm saying? Grown men running.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But he never hid that. This was hiding in plain sight. That's mm-hmm. what I mean. Yeah, this was hiding in plain sight. And, you know, when these stories come out saying for 10 years you sex traffic, beat up, drug, and did this and did that. And then the video comes out. And remember, in the video, he's 46 years old. That was 8 years ago. He's 54 now.
Right.
So it wasn't like he was a young guy. And at this time, he's worth $600-700 million. So you got to think about the type of person he is, the money, the power, the control, the influence. So, you know, these are all things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just feel like Biggie now has an asterisk by his name, only because people are going to say, man, he was tied to Puff, man. Like, he was tied to Puff. Like, you never heard Tupac ever. People say, well, Tupac wanted to leave Death Row, but, I mean, there's nothing, even a handwritten note about that. Like, mm-hmm. he was with Suge when he died. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, who rides with somebody in a car if they don't like him?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I always tell people that. I mean, you act like that. He didn't have to do anything with Suge. Suge needed him more than anything. So that was the cash cow. When Tupac died, Death Row went right. down.
That was the cash cow, yeah. So
So I never believed that because it just didn't make any sense. And like he said in the podcast, when Pac died, I didn't pick up a microphone. I picked up the pieces, and that was very profound. So we're gonna pay a quick bill, then we're gonna get into this last topic about Suge Knight Collect Call podcast. Let's see what Walmart talking about real quick. Let's get into Walmart Plus and why you need Walmart Plus, because I actually use Walmart Plus. It's very effective. Here we go. Everybody goes to Walmart at some point in their day, in their week, in their month, during the year, in their whole life. Walmart is a must-stop destination for everybody for whatever needs you have, whether it's food, products, electronics, pharmacy, you name it, it's at Walmart for the best value that you can find on the planet. But right now, we are in a time and space where everybody's working two jobs, three jobs, super busy with the kids or with your own life, school, studying, whatever it may be. You don't always have time to jump in your car and go to Walmart and buy what you need, which is why Walmart Plus is your new best friend. www.plus.walmart.com. That's plus, plus.walmart.com, plus.walmart.com. The Walmart Plus membership is the ultimate all-in-one solution for all of your shopping needs. You pay one price for the year with same-day delivery, save with free shipping, save on streaming, save at the gas pump, and rack up with Walmart Cash all day, every day. It's a win-win. Right now, we're in the stage of convenience, speed, and savings. The Walmart Plus membership does all of that for you. Again, go to plus.walmart.com and try for free for 30 days. You can't miss. It's Walmart. Walmart Plus. Tap in right now. Now, back to our regular scheduled programming on 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family.
All right. So shout out to Walmart. Make sure y'all jump on that Walmart Plus. Trust me, you need it in your life. Suge Knight has a podcast called Collect Call. I watch it every time an episode. I've watched all 18 episodes. I think it's refreshing. The thing I love about it is he's doing a podcast from, you could call it the most depressing place in the world, prison.
but you make it sound so peaceful. You hear this serene, raw intelligence from him. And when he speaks, you just feel like it's the truth. I don't know. It's something about the truth that it just hits different. But it makes so much sense. And the way he's recalling things that you never thought of and the people he's helped. Like, you know, I didn't know he was behind Hammer's career. I didn't know, you know, he funded Deion Sanders doing rap, the song, nothing. Just for the money, all that stuff Deion was doing. So Suge Knight has, you know, done so many things, generate over $1 billion with Death Row, you know, just putting together all-star roster of people from the West Coast to create a sound, the Motown of the West Coast for real. And to do it at a time where, you know, there was so much against him. I believe his podcast is the most truthful. I think, because I think every other podcast, and I like Joe Budden podcast, I like Marlon Roy, I respect all of them, but to me, everybody has a certain angle. With Suge's podcast, he doesn't have any famous friends hyping it up, except for Catwood. And he's doing numbers because people always wanted to hear from Suge. And when Suge narrates the story, he says things that nobody wants to challenge. And if they do challenge it, it exposes them for why you didn't do nothing. And just to give you an example, Z, before I throw it back to you to get your thoughts on the podcast, he brought up a point, and it's so accurate. Warren G was on the Drink Champs podcast, and he said that he was supposed to go to Vegas for the fight when Pac got killed. And he said that he didn't go. He didn't go. And he said that Snoop pulled up to his house in a white Rolls Royce. And he said Snoop had a walkie-talkie that could hear all of the, had a play-by-play of everything that was going on in Vegas. So when Pac got shot, they heard everything. And Suge brought up a point saying, if you wasn't going to come to Vegas, how would you have a walkie-talkie that's so close to the situation that you knew what was going on if you were not connected to it? So it's so much, Zoe, your mic is on mute too. It's so much that I never thought of that. And again, this is Warren G said that on the Drink Champs interview. He's like, yeah, we heard Snoop had like a Nextel. What, Nextel wasn't back there then, because Nextel didn't come out to like 99. But they had the walkie-talkie. But why would you have a walkie-talkie and you can hear play-by-play of what happened when a man got killed? Like, why would you even be connected to him in that way? And for you to have a walkie-talkie, that means somebody that was close to the situation had a walkie-talkie, so you could hear. So it's just a lot of stuff that when you look at it now, it just seems so off. Like, okay, Suge is making people look at the situation totally different, and he's doing it from prison. And I think that we, for a long time, it's easy to point the finger at the supposed bully if they're in your face. But I think now Suge's legacy is doing the opposite of what Puffy's legacy is doing, you know, because of where they are. But I love the Collect Call podcast, you know, and I'd rather hear from Suge about what happened in Death Row than all these other people who were rappers or security guards or the blood members that we never saw over there. So I'm glad Suge is speaking. I think everybody has a right to speak their truth. Zoe, what's your thoughts on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great podcast. That's funny because I was listening to it this morning when I was working out. So I try to catch it as well. You know, the hip hop in the 90s and the early 2000s, the stories are really interesting because there was no Instagram, there was no social media. So like right now, everyone gets a play-by-play of what's going on in people's lives, you know, like in Drake's life and in just different people's lives who are popular, you know, like the hip hop artists that are popular. But back then we didn't have social media. So we're hearing mm-hmm. these stories because we didn't see them. We didn't know about them. So it's like intriguing us because even, you know, Straight out of Compton, movies like that are coming out and being blockbuster hits because we didn't have social media. So nobody can pull up the tapes and I mean, pull up the video of this and that and that. We can't do that. So that was still a part of hip hop that we didn't see. A lot of people didn't see. It's hard to keep secrets now because there's video cameras everywhere, you know, shout out to Diddy. No, but there's video cameras everywhere. No, and there's cameras, true. There's phones everywhere. So Suge Knight is sitting back and telling us stories that are interesting because we're like, man, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. There was no phones in some people's hands so you could see what's going on. But is it one of the best podcasts ever or right now? It's close to it, but the audio is still bad, so it bothers me still. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't really, sometimes I can't make out what he's saying. You know, and I have to like, all right, let me replay that. And that's the thing that bothers me about it. And but you can't really fix that because it's a phone and he's speaking through a phone. So that's something that you can't really fix. It makes it authentic and it makes it different.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
True.
But again, it still bothers me because I can't make out what he's saying sometimes, you know, and I know they do the best they could with the audio, but it is what it is. But I try to catch it as much as possible as well. So I think it's up there with the podcast is one of the ones that people are. I don't know what the ratings are, but it should be high.
Yeah, to me, I think it's the best because, and this is my thoughts, mm-hmm. because it makes you look at life differently. If you make me look at life differently, I have a lot of respect. That because, like, you know, of course, you know me, I'm a podcaster and everything like that. And, you know, I look at things like, you know, I'm looking at things like this, like, when I do podcasts, you know me, I like to, when I speak to people, you know, and, you know, like take our interview that we did down in Miami, you know, uh-huh. like no script, no paper in front of us. We just flown, you know. So when people replay that interview, all of them are like, man, I learned so much about life, not so much just about you. But they learn so much about you, about your story, about life, like what you, they're listening to your words and how your life could help their life.
Right.
And right. I think that's the beauty of like, of my podcast. And that's the beauty of this podcast. When people play it back, we're just speaking from natural feelings of like what it would be like if we were in that driver's seat. So when I think about Suge, somebody who started a company from nothing, you know, put a lot of people together who had backgrounds and felonies and were Bloods and Crips, took some amazing talent. People can say, oh, you know, he didn't really bail Tupac out. Yeah, but who was trumpeting for Tupac when he was in jail for a rape charge? Like, nobody wasn't touching Tupac. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wanted to touch Tupac at that time. He was in jail for sexual assault, a girl. Nobody, like, he didn't have any friends. Like, it wasn't like nobody was repping for him. So the fact that he got him out, and you got Snoop, you got Dre, you got all these people, and Suge was right there. So to hear everybody have an opinion about Death Row, except for the guy who started the company, I think it's time that he speak. Even when Puff, to go back to Puff real quick, I think that even when when it's all said and done, and Puff does really tell his story, if he speaks the truth, it'll be just as powerful. And I think, to be honest, I think he should start a podcast and tell the truth about everything. Once the legal does settle, I think he should tell the truth about him. And I don't mean tell the truth to incriminate himself. Tell the truth about all of his weaknesses and what he's learning. I think he should do that because you have to humanize. This, to me, is humanizing Suge Knight. Whatever you think about Suge, you know, when he said, you know, Dr. Dre beat up women and they let him do the Super Bowl. I mean, to a degree, that's true. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying hold it over right. Dr. Dre. I'm not saying hold it over Dr. Dre's head forever. But he did beat up D-Bone. I mean, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, and Michelle, I mean, allegedly Michelle, but I know D Barnes, I mean, he, but you know, they tried to move past that, you know, or they give Puffy a star after he beat up Capricorn and Interscope settled it, according to Suge, for $1.5 million. All I'm saying is that, like all of these people who you see as heroes and awards and stuff, it just hit differently when you find out the truth. And that's what we're seeing now. You know, I just got a notification that they just reached a verdict in the Donald Trump trial. And I was telling somebody that no matter what happens, you know, he's still going to win. People say, why do you say that? Because of when you have millions of people that will give you money, even if it's a lie, you already winning from an evil side. So it doesn't matter if they say he's guilty or whatever. He's still going to say, I can't get a fair trial. They railroaded me. This isn't true. And people still, he's still going to walk away saying, I'm in New York. I can't get a fair trial. We're going to appeal it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to change the way he operates. You know what I'm saying? And you got to remember, just to compare two people, like a Suge or Trump or Puff, the former ex-president has 25 women that said that he sexually assaulted them too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So allegedly. So you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that it's so many things of how the world projects people. One guy's running for president, one guy's in prison, and one guy could be going to prison. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
right.
But I think with the Collect Call podcast, I think what Suge is doing is he's opening up the eyes of people about how to be a better man, how to respect your mom. And I love seeing people redeem themselves because redeeming yourself is harder than living. People say, what you mean by that? And I'm end my point with this. It's so hard to redeem yourself because when you're in the midst of redeeming yourself, everybody comes at you. Nobody wants you to change. Oh no, you did that. You know, no, you're that person forever. Nobody wants you to be a different person. Nobody. So when you try to become a different person, that's when the world put, like, no matter what Michael Vick does, there's some people that hate Michael Vick because of what he allowed to happen to those dogs. You know, even though he hasn't done that in years, that was a dark, even though he came from dog culture like that growing up in Virginia. I know about Virginia dog culture. They do that stuff. They breed dogs. They dog fight. They do stuff in Virginia. That happens every day. But Michael Vick, he got caught and he was doing something illegal. But to some people, he would never, ever, like, there's certain places, like there's certain jobs he will never get. Sponsors won't put their product next to him. You know what I'm saying? Even though Peter said he can have a dog again. So.
Right. But, you know, I mean, I think that you can come from a culture. You can come from a culture of everybody selling drugs around you. You can come from a culture of people, you know, having tricks or whatever around you. Like, but when you start making a certain amount of money and people invest in you and you're someone who is making corporations money, then I don't know who got to talk to these people, but it's, you know, but they need to sit down and say, you're worth, you're making us millions of dollars. So I need you to eat, sleep, and go home. You know, like, I don't know what they need to tell them, but certain things, you can grow up learning certain things, but you have to know that I'm worth this amount of money. People are eating off of me, my labor, whatever I do. I need to think twice, three times, four times before I do something or say something. Mm-hmm. So we can say, oh, he grew up with dogs fighting. He grew up with chickens fighting. He grew up with women fighting, men, father fighting mother. But it's just like, you really know, people know what's right and wrong, and people know what's illegal. And if you're making a certain amount of money and people are depending on you to make a lot of money, there's just certain things, excuses you just can't make. And I think
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that, by the way. But go ahead. I agree with you on
that. Sometimes we're too easy on people. And that's why, you know, people don't have... Sometimes they need higher expectations of themselves, you know? And, you know, I think, I don't know. I think when people go into the military, men go into the military, I think a lot of men who didn't learn how to be a man learns how to be a man, you know, and learns how to have discipline and learn how to make proper decisions and things like that. So, but, you know, we just need to be hard on people who commit crimes, you know, and if they redeem themselves, great. But it just, you know, it is what it is with him.
Definitely. Well, you know, that's our show for today. I think Z did a great job closing it out, more than just an interview. Z, I thank you so much, Zoe, for, you know, bringing all your knowledge and effort and just your wisdom to the table. You spoke very well on all the topics today. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. Make sure you follow us on iHeartRadio, follow us on Spotify, follow us on YouTube with the More Than Just Interview podcast. Peace and love, people.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Peace out. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this. Or this. Or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.